You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Clip-clop goes the trail, sun is rising high. Two gals in the saddle, neath the big Nevada sky. Laughing and chatting as the desert rolls on by. It's Saddle Talk, come along for the ride.
Welcome, listeners, to Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. Whether you're here to laugh with us, learn, or just ride along, you're in for a really good time. So go grab your helmet or your pooper scooper and settle in with us as we discuss life, horses, of course, and all the unexpected turns along the trail. And hey, whether you're a seasoned cowgirl or you're still learning, remember, we're sharing our own stories and opinions based on decades of personal experience. Always ride safe and check with a professional before trying anything new. Now let's go ride.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
We absolutely love having you as our trainer. And it's kind of funny because I'm never going to do Pirelli. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do that. And you've totally changed my mind on
what? Really?
On training. Yeah, because I always thought it was foo-foo, carrot stick and games and porcupine. Yeah, I'm like, it just seemed silly to me, you know,
yeah.
Because I didn't know any better and I didn't know any different. I'm just one of those end users, you know? Like,
I love that for you. I had no idea.
And you really have changed my mind because you're super cool. I mean, that's a big part of it.
Yeah, you are.
You're
cool.
Not like, Pirelli is like, you know, Bible. Like, every, you know, and I think that's what I like the most is that you're not like so, you know, strict. If you can't see my face, I'm going, We have a list of questions that we would like to start off with. But one of the first questions that we really like to ask everybody we interview is, why horses?
So we're in northern Nevada. I live out in the middle of the desert, as they know, because they had to drive. They drove to my house
It
today.
Was not that bad.
It wasn't that bad now because of all the growth. But honestly, I used to drive out here as a kid. Hold up a sec. Please, I have to squirt my cat. Sorry. Okay. She doesn't get to be on the counter. There's boundaries. So my name is Jessica, and horses. I started out with horses probably in my mom's womb because she did horses.
Aww. Like literally?
Yeah. And then my mom actually was originally going to school for animal science up at the University of Nevada, Reno. And because my parents had me young, I was a test child up at the University of Nevada, Reno. And so at some point, my mom had a horse when I was like little. And so, she, you know, the traditional put the kid on the horse and lead him around. And so that's where it stems from. But actually, it's funny, in talking with my grandmother a few weeks ago, horsemanship runs in our family. And I didn't really realize that because there's family that I don't know that live back east somewhere. And so it was interesting to find out that horsemanship actually runs in our family.
In what manner?
In our bloodlines. That they used, like, that's what they did, is they would, like, get on their horses every weekend and they would go and ride somewhere. And this was more for fun. But they still had jobs and a purpose with their horsemanship. Okay. It wasn't like they were, like, I don't come from a family of big eventers or big in the show world or competitors. Like, I don't come from a family like that, but definitely the recreational riding is in my world.
In your in DNA?
Nature. Yeah, my DNA.
What's your first memory of horses? Like, how did you first get hooked? Do you remember?
No.
No.
I don't remember, but what got me hooked, really hooked, and why I'm who I am today is that I think, and I don't remember the year exactly, but Pirelli came to Reno and did one of their conferences. And I was a teenager in high school. And, like, they showed the cool stuff, right? Like, people playing at Liberty with a giant green ball and riding bareback and bridleless, cantering around, you know, in an arena. And, you know, throwing things at each other while they're riding around. And it just, like, that dream vision that everybody has in the horse world, like, that everybody has a certain dream, and usually it's the cantering bareback.
Oh, with your hair flying
on the beach.
Yeah,
on the beach. Usually on the beach.
I don't know that I really want to do that.
But I mean, that's like the dream vision, right?
It
and
is.
So, to be fair, Pirelli World was really good at showing that it is possible to get there. It takes
sure.
a lot of work, but that particular conference is where I was like, I want to be that.
So that's what hooked you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom and I did horses prior to that. In fact, I did 4-H, but I did more dogs in 4-H than horses. And we were working with the group out here that was the Least Resistance Training Concepts group, where it ended up transitioning into the Wild Horse Rescue Team nowadays, that they go out and it doesn't even have to be wild horses. Like when we have fires in this area, if you don't have enough trailers or enough manpower and hands, they are literally the first phone number you call, because they just have a huge team of volunteers that
so magical
come and help. So that's that group transitioned to that. But in the olden days, which really wasn't that long ago, but that's what I'm calling it, out here in Stagecoach, Nevada, we would meet up every Sunday for Horse Sundays, and we would just pick a theme of the day to work on with our horses. And a lot of these horses were still being tamed. We would work on something, even if it was fun, like our horse paints a picture day or something, or plays the piano, like we bring out the keyboard piano, or I can't even remember everything we do. We did a lot of things. So the goal for me, and actually one of my other friends out in this area, that was kind of our goal, was to try to get that back up and running. That's been a little bit of a struggle, but also too, a shift of culture.
Mm-hmm.
So
here with people moving out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, you know, a lot of people are interested in horses, but don't necessarily understand the amount of time and effort and work.
Right. And energy.
And energy.
So then how did you go from being this weekend-loving horse girl and then going full on into the Pirelli world? Because I feel like I've got snippets of your history.
Mm.
But I don't know how you went hook, line, and sinker in that direction. And when did that happen for you? What was your experience?
It's been like a whole lifelong journey, actually. And so growing up, and this is nothing against people or generations, but growing up, you know, I want to do horses. And I would get the, you can't make money on horses. That's not realistic.
Right.
Right? I'm not mentioning any family members. I love them dearly.
It is so
still.
Generational. You're so right.
I love them still to this day. However, I was like, I wanted to prove them wrong. Right? Mm. That was a
it's
little
the best
bit,
thing that can happen.
It's a little bit of a like
tell me
middle
I can't do
finger
something.
To you.
Tell me I can't do something. It's the first thing I'm going to do.
And that's just my personality too, a little bit actually. But that being said, I did have to be realistic about it, right? I did not have horses growing up. My mom was invested in doing horses, but then life happened. I don't know, because of that internal gene somewhere, I wanted to go to school for animal science. But before that, like 4-H really helped me advance in the skills of doing horses and doing animals, because I got to participate with that group out here and all that. So, long story made shorter, I went to school for a Bachelor of Animal Science. And from there I was like, okay, well, what do I do with this? Because I don't have the funds to continue to pursue the original dream, which was to become a licensed Pirelli professional. Because believe it or not, anything that you want to pursue requires money.
I hate that.
So, I had to figure out how to make a living to then try to support my dream. But
your habit.
But at the same time, also, I had horses through college. So my first horse actually came from Lacey J. Dalton.
Who is that?
The country singer.
What?
Many people know who that is. That's actually my mare that was on the wall.
Oh.
Who my mare came off of the range up there, the Virginia City range that Lacey acquired. And had not been handled much. Like, Lacey had done stuff with her because my mare actually had a foal at a young age, And so the foal was easy to be handled because young and easy and all that. And the mare, my mare was handleable, but required more. So that was kind of my project horse that ended up becoming my horse.
And had you been in involved in Pirelli already at that point, or was it after you got your mare that you started being more serious in Pirelli?
So it was before my mare that I was in Pirelli, because my mom and I didn't have any horses. So we had this so we bought this program with all the stuff, the carrot stick and all.
Okay. And you mean like the Pirelli package?
Yeah, we bought like the whole Pirelli package. My mom, okay, my mom bought it because I was a teenager with no money.
Right.
Okay, so she bought the program and we had all the things and we're like, okay, now what do we do?
Right.
We gotta go find horses. So that's how we ended up actually with the group out in Stagecoach, the least resistance concept. We brought all our stuff with and we watched the program and we're like, okay, we wanna work on these things. And so that's how we ended up working more and more horses, and we got connected with younger horses and wild horses and had to go help them on the range for some of the problems that they had on the range, like some of those horses that have the elf shoe feet and such. Anyway, that's how that happened. So then I was working this mare, actually particularly at Willis Lamb's place, and it was Lacey's horse. And she ended up one day just gifting her to me because of the skills that she could see with me working other horses, including one of her other horses that she had as well. And we did a demo, I think, at one of the Wild Horse Expos when they used to be up at the Reno Livestock Event Center. Anyway, so that mare was gifted to me. So at that time, I was taking my horsemanship more seriously while in college, still working on my bachelor's, also having to pay now for a horse that's in a boarding facility. And in that mess, we ended up within a second wild horse who had a little bit of foundation training. And this is now my black and white horse to this day, the 22-year-old.
It's kind of like Pringles. You can't just have one after the other.
So we ended up, my mom and I, because we ended up with now two horses at a boarding facility while I'm still going to college. And now we're having to clean stalls to help pay for our boarding on top of paying for some of the boarding.
But that's putting in the work.
Right.
You know?
So we put in the work, let me tell you.
Yeah.
A lot of work. I can clean poop well. If anybody is like really good at cleaning stalls, then you know that they've done it a while.
Yes.
That is so true and so me. My best decisions in life are made cleaning poop.
Yeah. Actually, there is a kind of a
like a Zen state.
Yeah.
You know what? We had an episode on cleaning poop is real because we both enjoy it. You know, we enjoy the just being out there and the quiet and you're just cleaning. And when other people try to help us, we're like, walk away. Just thank you. I got it. Go pet my horse. You know, because like they clean, but they don't pick up all the poop and they leave some laying behind. And it's like, you can rake that up and get it in the wheelbarrow. Like, you know, why
Jessica's
are you leaving
face is
that?
So cringy, oh my right gosh. Now.
They don't do it the same.
They don't.
Right?
That's like
just,
anything.
Yeah. So we're just very particular about the care. Yep. Yep.
So I have to say something.
This is ridiculous.
We are now, we're sitting here talking with Jessica, and right outside her front window.
My big front window.
Her big front window are Mustangs.
Gosh.
And there's some babies.
There's three babies.
Oh, yes.
Are you
my
kidding
gosh.
Me?
Yes. I know. When you guys told me you were going to go to herds later, I'm like, shoot, when we were out on the trail ride today, we ran into two bachelors out there. This herd might have been the one that was a little further away when we were out riding.
Aww,
yeah.
Beautiful.
So they come to our neighborhood.
They're in your hood.
Yes, I love them and don't love them at the same time.
Of course, it's different.
It's a little like, as a horse person, do I want to clean up more horse poop? Speaking of that, no, I don't. No, I don't. Okay, so when they poop on the road or near my driveway, it kind of cringes me, but it's okay because we do it.
It's almost like deer. We have
it's
deer
so
at our place.
Crazy.
You know?
Yes. But is it nice sometimes to just see, like, they'll walk down the street. It's actually comical sometimes the way that they're, and then I say, hey, eat the weeds in the ditch. Come on. The dog's not out there right now. Eat the weeds. And they'll go and they'll kind of like munch. And then I'm like, no, no, that's not enough. Keep going. There's more.
Oh my God. Look, it's drinking magical. Milk. It's drinking milk.
It's not the actual bleep.
There's another herd that has 3 pinto babies.
Shut the front door.
They are so adorable.
Yeah.
And this particular herd has like the, I want to call them the grula.
They are. Like that's a grula. Like a grula herd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. That mare looks beautiful. That is amazing.
Yeah. It's so distracting.
So distracting. But also, this is my new picture window. It is. So it's actually even more distracting because now you really can see.
That's I know. And it's very clean. It's Thank very you. Clean.
I'm so glad we came here.
I know.
So if you need to see horses in your life every day.
You just come to
go to Stagecoach.
Just go to Stagecoach. Yeah. Seriously, you don't have to go very far.
Oh my God.
And I know there's a whole, like, there's a whole million other topics that you could go on to about wild horses, and we'll keep that to another day. But anyway.
I think one of my biggest questions, just because I know you were so celebratory when you have just come back from the Pirelli Ranch, is you were so excited to get your 2-star. And I was I was one of the first people you called, and honestly, like, I was so excited I didn't even know what it meant. So, I was literally like jumping out of my skin for you. Like, what does that mean, and how long did that take you?
And what's required to be a 2-star, you know, as opposed to a 1-star?
Because I know it's important.
Well, let's talk about what it even requires to just be a licensed Pirelli professional. So in the venture of, you know, going to college and all that and graduating with a degree and then having to work and, you know, survive, in the interim, I was also working on passing my Pirelli levels. Okay, so the Pirelli program it's a whole program that has levels within 4 savvies. The 4 savvies are online, freestyle, liberty, and finesse. And there's levels within each of those savvies. But in order to even be considered to go to an externship on campus, you have to pass all 4 levels before even going. And so what that means is that, like, if you're working on level 2, for example, that is not only a riding portion, but an online portion. And then it advances from there.
And when you say online, you're meaning on a rope.
On the ground with a rope.
Okay.
Not online on the internet.
Not on the interweb.
Online.
The world wide web. On the line. Yeah, I know. And actually, I forget that when I say that, people are like, wait a minute, what? And I'm like, oh yeah, sorry. On the ground with a rope.
Okay.
Okay, so you have these 4 levels and you have to become competent at all 4 levels before a 1-star?
Before even going to the externship.
Okay.
Okay, so while I was working on those levels, I actually got to visit campus for what they used to have called a fast track program, which is I did it twice because my mare passed on campus many years ago, and so I had to retake that course.
Aww.
So it's been a little bit of a journey, taking a little longer for us, because if you had one horse to work on and then they pass away, you're like, oh my gosh, now what do I do? I have to start from the beginning, which I almost did with the black and white. He had some skills already that we were working on, but anyway, that was a big hiccup in the program. But in order for me to be considered to go to the externship, which is the start of becoming an instructor, I had to pass all those levels.
Wow. So you pass them with 1 horse, then you go to the externship. Yep. And then how do you get a 1-star?
So at the externship, that's 12 weeks. I almost had a brain fart. I was thinking 12 weeks on campus.
At their facility.
At the facility. It is school. It is
this
like...
This is crazy dedication.
Yeah. Okay. It's like I should have done this when I was 18 years old versus however old I was, which was not 18. It was not 18. And honestly, what was nice is when I went to the externship, which was a few years ago, I thought I was going to be the oldest one there, and I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only American, first of all, for this particular externship. Everybody else was from Europe. And it was nice not being the oldest one. Close. But all of us were actually in a very similar age category. So that tells me that the program is pretty intensive, and it's not, horsemanship isn't perfect overnight.
Right.
It takes
learning time. Yes, time and learning.
For the human and for the horse to acquire skills. So that's a whole nother topic.
I'm learning that with my side passing of Kaya, which I was going to talk to you about later, probably off the record.
Yes.
But anyway, go on.
Well, and that's the thing is that, so it was nice to see that those people were, nobody was a spring chicken.
Yeah.
They didn't just come out of high school. Like, we all had worked to get to the externship, which again was 12 intensive weeks on campus. And by intensive, I mean intensive, you're up early, you're working hard, you're riding every day for 6 or 7 days, depending on what Pat wants to do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you have to find time to do your laundry and do your food shopping and sleep. Mm-hmm. At some point.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. And so, granted, the nice thing about myself is it didn't overwhelm me too much because I had gone to college. I had gone to university.
Right.
So to me, it was like, oh, yeah, okay, multitasking hardcore, right. Just one piece at a time.
Right. Yeah. So I'm used to the grind.
Correct. It didn't bother me too much. However, every single extern at that particular time, we all had at least one mental breakdown. I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
To me, that's normal, right?
Absolutely. That's normal, it's human.
Right. That's a normal, even if it was just being missing home. Because for me, that probably was the biggest one, is I was missing home. At the time, I had a cat that was sick with GI lymphoma. I was, super worried about her. I didn't want her to pass away while I was gone. And that's the other thing is, I still had a home life, and all of us had a home life. So somebody had to be home taking care of our horses at home, taking care of our animals.
For 3 months,
and they had to take care of themselves.
Wow.
So, and what's funny is the externs that I just saw when I was in now South Carolina in March, there were two of them that had families. Three of them. So two of them had children at home with their significant other or spouse. One of them actually brought her husband and her child with her to campus, which I think was a first.
Wow.
And that's like hardcore.
I mean, that speaks a lot to how intense the training really is.
Well, and it also speaks to the support,
right? That it takes.
Because in order for you to really master something, there has to be a support team behind you. And so you actually have to pass the externship. So there's actually, it's like school. You still have to pass with a certain grade the externship. So that's how I became a 1-star.
Okay. That makes sense. And I've never heard it explained this way. So thank you.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of our listeners will not even understand that it took you 4 levels, then an externship. Yeah. That gets you a 1-star. You had to pass a test at the end.
Yep.
And at that
Multiple tests.
And then at that point, are you considered a 1-star trainer?
Yes. Okay. So 1-star licensed Pirelli professional can teach levels 1 through 4 online and freestyle only. So there's 4 savvies we had talked about, online, on the line. Mm-hmm. Freestyle is riding, but it's non-contacted riding. We're teaching safety, teaching you how to be safe with your horse. And for those of horses that might need to be restarted or haven't been started, it's teaching us how to correctly saddle our horses, correctly bridle our horses, correctly use our reins. What are our rein positions? Can we use a stick to help influence our horse's body? So that's where carrot stick riding comes into play. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, that's just waving the fancy carrot stick around. But that also teaches our horses to be more responsive to our body and our legs versus using our reins.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a communication tool.
Correct. Okay. Freestyle is really right. The Pirelli program really is about teaching the human the skills.
I think most horsemanship training out there is geared towards the person. Because the horses are fine.
They truly the horses know how to already do more know. Than we think.
Exactly. They, yeah, it's us.
For young horses, we are teaching them skills.
Sure.
And how to be, how to be better citizens by yielding from pressure better. Right? Because when we're riding, it is about... I'm asking and can you respond? It's a give and take relationship, mm-hmm. right? that's really what it's about. So as a one-star instructor, we can only teach those two savvies. We can only take so many students at doing workshops. We can't do clinics yet, but we can only do like 3 students in a workshop. Because for Pirelli program, what's really important for them and why I do value them as an entity is that they've produced a lot of good instructors. That may not even be with Pirelli anymore, but they've produced a lot of good instructors because their program for the instructorship is hardcore.
Well, I feel like they changed the horse industry at large.
Huge.
Like, he really did shift everything. Him and his wife. I don't want to discredit her. I think they did it together,
yeah.
Right? Like, Linda was a massive part of this shift in just the culture of horses in the world, not just the United States.
Oh, it's like worldwide. Again, coming back to the externship that I went to, I was the only U.S. citizen.
And this is for your two-star?
Two-star. So the star ranking thereafter is based on like hours spent with Pat and other criteria that like we have to turn in throughout the time. There's not really a timeline on it, but me being somebody who is very a go-getter, I'm like, no, I like to progress. Like, if we become stagnant, in my opinion, and this is for anything, this is life. To me, when we become stagnant as creatures, that's often when depression takes over. That's when we are bored. We've lost our purpose. And so, and do we all have moments of that still?
Of course.
Yes. Of course. Because I have moments still to this day. Like, I'm a terrible human. I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing? Right? So, but in my opinion, like, if we lose our momentum, then we're not going somewhere. Like, we need to always have a path of
and a goal.
So now that everybody knows what it takes to get 1-star, what does it take to get 2?
2-star, they're in the process of actually shifting our requirements. So we are supposed to have so many hours of free lessons, by the way.
Free lessons?
When I became a 1-star, I had to offer so many hours of free lessons in each savvy that I can teach. So then same, I had to offer so many hours of free lessons now in Liberty because now I can teach the Liberty savvy.
Well, you know, when we do another lesson at her house and I'm just there, you can consider me the free lesson because I don't, you know.
But it's very topic specific. Like, they're very specific about the requirements. So I'm telling you, it's like,
it's hardcore.
It's hardcore.
Okay.
And so, so many hours of teaching free for a certain savvy, so many hours of actually just teaching, even if you're paid lessons, but like group lessons particularly is what they're looking for, because they want to see how well can you handle group situations.
Okay.
Because teaching groups is different than teaching individuals.
And how do they know? Do you have to record it?
Yes.
Is that why your mom was there that one time recording you?
Oh, no. That was for funsies.
Oh.
She wanted to watch. But she was, you know, just to be a support team. But no, we have to record in a program. Like, okay. Every time I do a session, a lesson, the trail ride we did today has to get marked down.
That is so interesting. Okay, so then you turn in all of these requirements, and then you have to go to another externship?
No, we don't have to go to an externship, but we do have to spend time learning from Pat.
So then that's why you just went to South Carolina and you spent some time with him.
Yes.
You learned from him. And then at the end of that time is when you would have another test and he would give you the 2-star or you would earn it?
There's a committee that then evaluates. It's not like I put in paperwork to become a 2-star. It's more of like, are they meeting these requirements?
And a committee decides.
So you give all your stuff to a committee and they look it over and they're like, okay, she's ready to be a 2-star.
And who has final say?
Pat.
Pat Pirelli.
Yeah.
Because the man is still alive.
That's amazing. I had no idea it was this complicated.
How many stars are there?
That was my next question.
Wait, hold please. It's 5 or 6. I can't remember if it's like 5. And then 6 becomes like the emeritus.
I just can't imagine what have to do to get that many more.
Because you're amazing. Like, honestly, you are one of the most naturally talented horse people I've ever met. Like, your timing is impeccable. Like, truly, I have learned so much from you. And I felt like I didn't have all that much to learn. And that's why Pirelli Land was always on the back burner, because I didn't need it. And then all of a sudden I get a dragon and I'm like, girl, I need help. Right.
Yeah.
And so you come in and literally change my life, change my perspective. We save a horse together. Armani would be dog food.
So much fun.
He was an asshole.
Much fun. But you know what's fun for me as being a teacher in Pirelli Land is that the growth. Mm-hmm. The growth that I see, and I have, as you guys know this story, because it just makes me giggle. I have one client who is an elderly human, and she is literally, we're taking a wild horse off the range and piece by piece taming this horse, which means this horse was not touchable at all. Like, we couldn't even be in the pen when we started.
Wow.
And patience is a virtue, comes back to my mind, many, and her mind too. We talk to each other about it all the time. But what I told her one day, and it made her laugh, and it made me laugh because she laughed, is I said, you're making progress. It may be 1 millimeter at a time.
Yeah.
But you're making progress. And I said to her, I said, no, that it actually eventually is going to turn into 1 centimeter one day.
Yeah.
What have we reached? As of this week, we are so close. We can touch this horse. Touch. Wow. Touch this horse. And she follows her human around in her pen. And she can think through the horse. The horse can think through puzzles that we're giving her.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only did she work through her 1 millimeter pieces, like every day, thick and thin, wind and no wind, because we live in northern Nevada.
Yes, yes.
And I told her the other day, I said, hey, friend, do you remember where we started? And she's all, yeah. And then she's like, you know, I had to think about, she had another horse many years ago that she did a similar thing. She's like, I had to think about how long it took for that horse to build a rapport with.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look what you're doing now. I said, now we're going to start growing exponentially,
mm-hmm.
because you actually put in the time and the work and the effort to build the rapport with that horse.
Well, and that's exactly what I saw in Kaya, because yes. when you came out and met her, we couldn't touch her. I couldn't catch her, nothing. And once we established that relationship, and I really needed you to show me, because I felt like I knew what I was doing, but I do move really fast, like my actions. And having you there just to say, stop, slow down. Like, I know you think you're going slow, but go slower. I just needed that. And then once I established that trust, everything we're doing, we're jumping like miles and miles and miles.
Totally.
So it's amazing how that works.
I love when she sends me her videos, because she's got a Ring camera.
Sandy?
So she can, like, all the time, look at what we did. And I'm like, yeah.
Yay.
So that to me is the reward. Yes, am I in a business? Yes. But to me, it is. And actually, I was talking with another instructor who also is in Northern Nevada, Robbie. We were having a discussion recently because we were at her house for an event. But we were talking about, yeah, we're in a business and money, it's important, right? We need to be able to pay our bills and make money. But we were talking about, but the education is more important to
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, It's that Bible phrase of you can teach a man to fish.
You can give a man a fish and he eats for a day.
But if you teach a man to fish, he can eat for a lifetime. And to me, that's what I find that the Pirelli program is really good at doing.
Mm.
Because I run into a lot of students who have they have horse background. Like, you guys have horse background. A lot of my students have horse background. Mm-hmm. But they'll go, oh, nobody's ever explained it to me like that before, because instructors were just telling them what to do to get them through the challenge or the problem, but they weren't actually explaining the why.
Well, that's a really good lead in to this next question is, what do you think the biggest mistake is that you see owners doing with their horses when they're training, whether it's under your guidance and they're not training enough in between your visits, or right? If you want to elaborate on that, I know we've had that conversation, but if there's any other mistakes that you see them making might help people out in the audience.
I don't want to even call them mistakes, because honestly, that's not often what it is. It's more of an ignorance problem.
Mistake sounds nicer.
I know, mistake sounds, but ignorance is actually nicer. And here's why. Because it's a lack of understanding on the human's part. Mm-hmm. It's a lack of understanding the horse behavior. It's making assumptions that the horse knows what the human is trying to do. Am I guilty of that too? Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Honestly, that makes me think of me. And instead of me moving forward, I paused and I said out loud to myself, I do not have the tools. But I think a lot of people would have just kept going and would have blamed the horse and said, oh, that horse is explosive. That horse is mean. That horse is aggressive. I think he was being offensive because he had to be defensive so much of his life.
Oh, man.
Right?
He definitely, out of many horses that I've dealt with, Armani was shut down, but in a reverse fashion. So if you see many horses shut down, they're often just like people like, oh, they're sleeping. No, they're not. They're going to explode in 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like you can, but that's reading body language. Armani was different. He was like middle finger to you all the time. and that was his way of communicating him being shut down.
Yes.
He was constantly being told, no, 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 don't do that. No, uh-uh. No, uh-uh. And the big thing that Pat is advertising or mentions a lot is like, be the ambassador of yes. It is something for me personally that I struggle with sometimes. It's like, that's not the answer. But what Pat is trying to teach us in the program as instructors, whatever, is that we need to set up puzzles for our horses. And then wait.
So that they have success.
Hold and wait for them to find an answer without us forcing them through.
And that's my biggest mistake, is the wait.
And I'm guilty of it too. Like I think about the horse that I have on my property. The other night, our session wasn't as good as it could have been, our online session. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I probably was moving too quick for him. And that particular, they wake up on a different side of the corral too every day like us. Mm-hmm. And he probably needed me to slow down even more. Because I'm a pretty fast person too. I like, blah, 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 right? I can talk for many, many a mile. I get that from my grandmother. But that being said, I had to slow it down. And to me, back to the question, ignorance is one. But us being impatient as predators, we're always in a hurry, especially in our culture nowadays. We're even in a bigger hurry, which I'm guilty too. I'm a little bit of an aggressive driver. But when it comes to horses and taking the time it takes,
right?
So it takes less time. That is one of Pat's phrases that I was like, oh, I actually am having even a better understanding of that phrase now.
That's one of my favorite things about watching him, because I absorbed everything I could before I reached out to you. And I watched his special on Amazon. I watched every single episode. And he had all these key phrases and they all made sense. And now that you've helped me through Pirelli for almost a year now, I think this is actually a year in June we've been together.
Mm.
I think this is like our 1 year anniversary, girl.
Yay. Yay!
But that was one of the things when I go and I watch him again, those phrases just stick. It's like this sticky learning. And I think to myself, you were so onto it. He was so onto it. He was so revolutionary. And he's changed the horse world. And even if you don't buy into his version of natural horsemanship, right? Like I think he's revolutionized the way that horses and humans communicate. And I feel so blessed and so thankful that you have taught me how to communicate effectively with my animal. And now I know what he's saying to me. He was telling me to fuck off all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get it. I just thought he was being a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Why Pirelli? Why not Clinton Anderson? Why not Monty Roberts? Why not Buck Branham? Branham, I always say his name wrong. Mm. But what was it about Pirelli that set it apart from the other versions of, and I'm not asking you to dog on Clinton Anderson or dog on anyone. That's not the purpose of the question.
I have a really easy answer for you.
Nice. Go ahead.
Because I knew nothing else. Okay. So my mother knew other things. She knew other things. She grew up in the barrel racing world as a kid. Like, horses was her getaway, her escape. And so she knew and saw other things. And so when we went to that conference in Reno, it really did just blow our mind. And I knew nothing else. I was young.
So had it been somebody else, you might have gone down another path.
Maybe. Yeah. But what I have learned from my, and I have watched other videos of people. And that being said, like, Pat's foundation, he flat tells us all the time, he came from other people as well. So
everybody has.
There are some founding fathers outside of being in the Greek ages. Okay.
Right.
There are founding fathers of natural horsemanship. And so these people now, these key players nowadays, they've just taken it to the way that they understood it and the perspective and how they think they could teach horses and train people.
Right. And design their own program through personalization.
Right.
Right.
What I've learned from my students that necessarily haven't always been Pirelli also is that they liked Pirelli even to this day because his horses never had constant negative reactions on their faces, like those kind of nasty ears or those.
Don't talk to me about ears.
Yeah, I know your ear. Yeah, your horse. No. Well, she's working through.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, they just had better expressions, is what people would tell me.
Yeah.
They just looked more relaxed. They looked like, oh, this is no big deal. They could think and process longer. That, you know, they just had.
It's their affect, because I totally agree. I've watched a lot of online videos. I mean, with the explosion of YouTube and the availability of all these natural horsemanship people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've watched a lot of their stuff, and not for nothing, I have always felt that Pirelli's horses really do seem to be like the most, I want to use the word, cured of the human. Like, they just don't struggle that same way that if you watch other people who are effective and wonderful and great at what they do and they observe and listen to their horses, those horses don't always seem like as happy and thinking through things as some of Pirelli's horses. And I watch him do his thing and I'm like, damn. Whatever people may think of him and his life choices, and you know,
that's
it's
separate.
It's just, yeah, I know totally. It is, but like, people do that, right?
Well, like, they judge. They do.
To me, it's like presidents. Like,
yes.
To me, you've been hired for a job. Right. We're not going to get political, but what I'm saying is there's a separation of church and state.
Yes.
So to me, in a profession, like, do I want to share my personal life all the time with people? No, not necessarily. And do they need to know it? No, not necessarily. You know, and everybody makes mistakes.
Yes. And I love his end product.
And they all do stupid things.
All of them do stupid things.
And that's why, you know, so when I think about you, I think about you as my trainer and the person that keeps me focused and down a certain path and kind of helps tweak what I'm doing. Yes, you teach Pirelli, but I don't think of it as I'm only doing Pirelli and I'm like, it's this way or no way. You know, I don't think of it like, I think of it as you're my trainer and this is how you train me and my horse. And that's what I really love about just having you as a trainer. Because I never really thought of myself as having, I'm not very good being taught by people younger than me. It's really bad.
I understand.
It's really bad.
Okay. Like, when you go to the ER you nowadays and there's...
I hate lessons. Can I say that loud?
But let's talk about lessons.
Wait,
one thing before that, because, again, I am commending Pat Pirelli. The biggest thing for me, for Pat Pirelli, in the other things that I have observed, is he's really taught us to be puzzle solvers.
Mm-hmm.
Not only with our horses, but with ourselves. Like, when is something is not working... And he has his seven games. Break it down. What game is broken?
Well, you know what's so funny? You know how you showed me how to work with Kaya and do the side passing? She's really good going to the going to the right, going clockwise around the round pen, going counterclockwise, she blows up. So I actually had, I'm going to call it a Jessica moment. I had a Jessica moment, and I said to myself, okay, wait, stop. We don't have to do the full body. Let me just do this at the head, right? Like you were showing me, I wasn't bonking her, but I was like, I just wanted her to move 2 feet, and I had her stop. Because I'm kind of the kind of student that if you show me how to do something, it's like, I'm going to do it that way all the time, that all the time. And sometimes I have to remind myself, okay, that's the end goal. That's what she wants me to get to. But Kaya is just having a meltdown, going to the left. And I was like, okay, let's stop. And let's just do 2 feet. Mm-hmm. And it worked. So, yay, it works.
Yay. You help the human. You
that, the my human. Friend, is, to me, if I could teach nothing else, it's, yes, seven games, very important, but it's something that it's taken a long time for me to learn as well, is like, break it down, dude. Why are you trying to eat a whole watermelon at one time?
And don't be afraid to take what your trainer's teaching you and break that down. Yeah. Because I think a lot of people are the same way, and they just, you showed me, because you had me going around the whole pen, and you had me working her.
Yep.
And I kept thinking, oh, that's what I got to do. And she was just getting pissed off. And today she actually turned her butt to me, gave me the little kick, and I sent her ass around me a couple times, and then we went back to it. But it's the breaking down, and I just think that's a lot of people's issue, is they don't think that they can. You know, they don't think they can just stop.
Well, I mean, doesn't that speak to you? You're creating trainers.
Yeah.
Like you said, you are teaching
people. Don't worry, though. I'm not going to hone in on your business.
Well, that's the thing. But that's the thing, as an instructor. Now, granted, if you want to stay with me forever and ever and ever, great. Like, we will constantly...
You'll take my money.
We'll go somewhere, right? For sure. Because I have instructors, too. Like, as an instructor, to me, good instructors also have instructors.
Yes, okay? Of course.
And so I see people, too, because I'm like, okay, I know the theory. I understand it. But now I'm like, am I doing it correctly? Is there some little shift that I can do?
Yes.
I need to connect the big brain down the neurons to the muscles to make sure my body is doing
it correctly.
I need to
lick and chew.
And then go... Huh.
And then
why didn't
out.
That work? Or could that have worked better? Right? To me. So that I want people to go, oh, that didn't work very well. So this is what I did. Okay, excellent. Because you've just broken it down for you and your horse to make it more successful. Yes.
With that, listeners, we hope that you really enjoyed part one of two of our interview with Jessica Ponte, a 2-star Pirelli trainer here in Northern Nevada. Stay tuned for the second half on our next episode drop. Hey friends, that's the end of today's ride. We hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to follow Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara, wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a review, share us with a friend, and saddle up with us next time as we ride through more stories, questions, and our wild tangents. Till then, friends, keep your boots dusty and your hard hats on. We hope to see you out on the trail.
Sandy and Kara stirrups swinging free, talking about life and love and mystery. From coyotes to coffee, they'll cover it all with the sagebrush blowing and the wild birds call. So cinch up your boots, we're hitting the track. Saddle Talk's on and we're not looking back.